Ready for the next level? At GSP, we build faster, stronger, and more explosive athletes while developing elite baseball and softball hitters. If you're serious about standing out, it's time to train at GSP.
Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 dug out. Mic up, DC in the chair, talking for Wayne Dirt. Red clay in the air, from the sandlot days. Scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park few nights. Packed seats, hometown love, Summer City Sluggers. Little homies with a dream. Right. Little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams. Ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt. Now they legends in the making on the 260 dugout.
Yeah, it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 dugout,
say it.
260 dugout,
louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
Park View Field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 dugout. Yeah,
it's that 260 dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 dugout.
Say it.
260 dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio way.
All right, we are here broadcasting live here at Parkview Field. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. And, of course, we're getting ready for the upcoming season with the Fort Wayne 10 Caps 2026. This is my 12th year covering the 10 Caps, so very excited to dig in to this season. And we got a coach that is making a return to the dugout here at Parkview Field. He was back here in 2023. He has made the return. I'm ready to catch up and get to know this coach because this is the first time I've ever been able to talk to him. So we are joined by the coach of the 10 Caps. We are joined by Coach Johnny Matthews. Coach, what's going on?
Just happy to be back in the fort and ready to get fired up.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So I wanted to get to know you a little bit more since this is the first time I've talked to you. So you're a former player. You got to play a little bit at the major league level. Just talk about, you know, first of all, going back to those days. I mean, it's always special. You know, there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that either have those dreams or had those dreams and were able to accomplish them. Me. But go back to those days. You know, talk about what it meant to be a professional baseball player.
Yeah. To be honest, even before that, when my dad has worked in professional baseball my entire life, so my mom taught kindergarten, and so whenever school would get out, my mom and my sister and I would go wherever my dad was managing or coaching, and so I kind of grew up in the dugout. I grew up in the clubhouse, grew up on the bus, and so baseball is kind of all I've ever known. And I was fortunate enough, I had a chance to play briefly in the minor leagues. I did not end up playing in the major leagues, but I had a chance to play a couple of years of minor league baseball. And honestly, it kind of provided a springboard for me into coaching. I ended up managing at 26 years old because I was not a good enough player. And so I started coaching early. And that's kind of what I've done ever since. So baseball and coaching baseball has kind of been the majority of my life.
Yeah, I mean, you were still drafted, though, I believe, by the Colorado Rockies, correct. I believe. Yep. So that's still a pretty good accomplishment to even be, yep, you know, talked about with that. But just talk about that transition, you know, being a young coach, switching gears, you know, talk about that transition for you and how was that?
Honestly, my first full year as a major league or as a minor league coach, a hitting coach, I was working for the Minnesota Twins. And some of these names people may or may not recognize, but our catcher was a kid by the name of A.J. Pierzynski. We had a center fielder named Jock Jones.
Ooh.
Our first baseman was a guy by the name of David Ortiz that went on to have a pretty nice career. So
yeah,
those guys all made me a very good hitting coach. And so I kind of just used that as a springboard and haven't left the dugout really much since.
That sounds like a resume. Was the hitting coach for David Ortiz. That sounds like you got a Hall of Fame resume just saying that, Coach. So, yeah, you were a hitting coach for a while, and I want to reflect on the moment you found out you were going to manage right here in Fort Wayne, the moment you found out you're coming to Fort Wayne the first time in 2023 to be the manager of the 10 Caps. How was that for you?
I was super excited. I'd been here already as the hitting coach for 3 years, and so I knew the people, I knew the place, I knew the community, I knew the front office, and I'd had the itch to manage again. I had done it as a younger coach. And so that opportunity to come here and manage, I couldn't have been more excited. We got off to a tough April, and then we kind of got it turned around and ended up in the playoffs. And so it was like a, you know, it was a storybook season kind of for me, getting to come back here to Fort Wayne. I live in the Midwest. This is about as close to home as I can get with the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
So it's, you know, a perfect world for me.
Yeah, and obviously you had the second half, you know, division title. Talk about what that meant, not only to you, but to this organization doing that.
It was exciting. I don't know the last time that Fort Wayne had been in the playoffs. Prior to that, it'd been not all that long ago, probably, but the players kind of took it upon themselves, and that whole second half, we just kind of went on a run. And going into that last series, we played in Dayton, I believe, the last series with a chance to make the playoffs, and we found out on the last day of the season that we made the playoffs. And so I won't say it was champagne. It's the whatever, the sparkling grape juice, we'll call it. When they popped the corks, the guys were excited, and it was just I think it meant a lot to the people of Fort Wayne, at least here the Tin Cap fans. And so they got to see some extra baseball in the playoffs, and they supported the guys the whole way through the season. So it was pretty special.
Yeah, so when you come here to Fort Wayne, talk about some of the stuff, because, you know, you're here a lot more often. You spend a lot of time here. So I just want to dig into, because I'm from here, born and raised here. So I just like, you know, are there any hobbies that you like to do here in the 260?
So I tell people, when they ask me about Fort Wayne, I always tell them it's a sneaky good food town, sneaky good golf town.
Ooh.
And I just the way the community supports the guys, it's second to none. And so, yeah, on the off days, you'll probably find me on a golf course. If we have a day game, you'll probably find me that night at one of the restaurants around downtown. I like to go to restaurants and I play golf. I read a little bit, but
there you go.
Those are my biggies in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, you don't have to be shy, Coach. I mean, we're always open for more sponsors, so you don't have to be afraid to mention any of those restaurants or any of those golf courses you visit. Go ahead and give them a shout out.
So, Cherry Hill, Autumn Ridge. I've played at Sycamore, which is a Jack Nicklaus design. That's a tough golf course.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunity to play at Fort Wayne Country Club, which is beautiful.
Yep.
So, if there are any members listening that need a fourth in their foursome, I'm available.
Go. There we go.
And then Proximo, Mercado, any place on the Landing. I like the Oyster Bar. I like Paula's. Copper Spoon is kind of a Monday hangout for me. So,
nice.
Number of places around Fort Wayne where I might sneak into if I have an off night.
That's pretty good. The 260 Dugout is looking for more sponsors. So if you're listening and your business was just called out, we have another person that will be glad to do a live read for you guys weekly on this podcast. So all seriousness, Coach, you know, a few years later after bringing the division title, you know, you're gone back doing the hitting coach thing. You're back here now a few seasons later. So we're always learning. Every year I'm sure you learn something different. So what have you been working on as a manager and a hitting coach the past few years bringing into today?
You know, the game is changing quickly. The way we play it is very similar, but I'm sitting here in the dugout looking at all these cameras and paraphernalia that I don't understand all that well, but there's so much technology and so much information. A lot of our job now as coaches is to take all of that and then how do we give it to the players so that they can use it? And so, you know, that's the biggest change from year to year. The game, the way the guys play the game, it hasn't changed for 150 years, but the information that we have available changes drastically every single year. So that's how we spend a lot of our time, is how do we use this information in a positive way.
Yeah, so you talk about things that are ever-changing. I want to get your perspective on this because you're a manager, so I'm sure you love this. But I from your perspective, the ABS system, what do you think that's going to do for the game of baseball moving forward?
I have a feeling it's coming everywhere. And I honestly, I like it. I think what it does is, especially it sets a hard edge on east-west on the plate, you know? So, and I think it provides accountability for the umpires. The players that understand the strike zone better are going to be better able to use the challenges. So I personally like the ABS, and I love the challenge system.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, a little bit more analysis. So last question, tell us about some of the guys that you know and familiar with this year's 10 Caps team.
A number of returners. Jack Costello is back. Kaysen Wells is back. Linares is back. Rosemond Verdugo is back. And then some of the new guys. Carlos Rodriguez is new. Alex McCoy is new position player. Javaris Tears out of the University of Tennessee will be new. A number of the pitchers are new. I'm still getting to know them, to be honest with you, because I haven't been around them the last couple of years. But Cash Mayfield is a name. He was a number one pick a couple of years ago. So he'll be a name that people are familiar with. So a nice mix of people, guys that are new to the fort, and then also some guys that have been here before and understand how special it is.
I love it. Very excited for the season. Look forward to seeing you guys, and good luck this season.
Thank you very much.
If you're listening right now, I want you to picture this scenario. You're on your way to practice or running late for a game. We all do it. You hop in the car, you get it started. Just like that, boom, tire pressure light comes on. Brakes start squeaking. Dashboard lights up like the stadium lights on a Friday night. But don't stress. Relax. Take it to McMahon's Best One Auto. They got you from quick oil changes and flat tire repairs to brakes, alignments, and engine diagnostics. And just like that, they'll get you back on the road fast. That way you don't miss practice, the game, or hanging out with your friends. With 8 locations in Fort Wayne, New Haven, Lima, Ohio, and Bryan, Ohio, McMahon's Best One's got your back. So why wait? Schedule your appointment today at McMahon'sBestOneTire.com. McMahon's Best One, keeping you ready for game day. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special shout out to all of our sponsors, GSP Hitting, McMahon's Best One Auto, and Old Fort Baseball Company for making this podcast possible. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Go ahead and make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up with all of our great episodes. And of course, leave us a review. Let us know what you are thinking. Of course, we just got done wrapping up all of high school baseball season previews. I got a ton of them up for you to check out and listen to, some from the Northeast Indiana High School Baseball Media Day, and some weren't. Some happened before that. So definitely check out some of the past episodes. I have Andrew Sawfrank, who is a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, not pitching this season, but that was the first episode of the season. Tim Tassler, legendary historian of Fort Wayne baseball and baseball in Fort Wayne. Tons of episodes for you to check out. But now it is time for the Fort Wayne 10 Caps season. As the season is underway, as we're recording today, the season began last night. Today is Saturday as we're recording, but 10 Cap season's underway. We got a chat with the manager, Johnny Matthews, coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, I wanted to talk with the legend for the Fort Wayne 10 Caps. I wanted to bring the man on. I don't know how I didn't bring him on the first season. I really don't know. I did have a lot of guests, and I felt like this next guest should have been one of those first people, because he's one of the first people I met when it came to especially 10 Caps baseball. You know, I was used to do play-by-play, or not play-by-play, but I used to be the board operator for the play-by-play broadcasters on 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. I still may do them occasionally, but was definitely doing it back when I started in 2014. And one of the first people I met was the next guest right here. We have Mike Moss joining us. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
It is good to have you finally getting you on the podcast.
That word legend scares me, because I'm not. I'm just a guy who loves sports,
yeah,
and has been very blessed to be able to broadcast in this community now. It goes back to January 3rd, 1990 with high school basketball.
Wow.
But being a broadcaster for 36 years overall, and being involved broadcasting initially Fort Wayne Wizards,
yeah,
then 10 Caps baseball, going back to 2003, and I'm about to complete my 30th full year of broadcasting Purdue Fort Wayne athletics. So it's been a joy and a delight. Mm-hmm. You know, we always hear this phrase: "It's not a job; it's a labor of love."
Mm.
I enjoy any checks that I get,
right?
But it's true. It's very, very fortunate. I'm very, very grateful and very, very blessed. And anxious to get my 2026 tin cap season started next week.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason, you know, that humble attitude that you approach with all the stuff you just mentioned that you've accomplished and have done is exactly why you're a legend, just to tell you. That's exactly why, because you don't, you know, all the things you've accomplished, you don't, you know, brag about it or, you know what, today's a day and age. You post it all online to tell everybody about it. And, you know, look at me in this society today. But on the inside, we know, you know, what you've brought to Fort Wayne athletics, Fort Wayne baseball, and just, you know, sports in general in our area.
I can thank my late mother and father for instilling in me the magical word of humility.
Absolutely.
That, and in terms of broadcasting as well, and I've mentioned this many times to many people over the years, the best advice I ever got, not only as a broadcaster, but as a person, came back in 1994, which was the bicentennial year here in Fort Wayne. I was actually employed by the New Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
And was then the Fort Wayne Wizards, second year of operation in the Midwest League, low A, Class A Midwest League. I mentioned the bicentennial year. We also had the Fort Wayne Fury of the CBA. We had the Fort Wayne Comets of what was then the International Hockey League. And it just so worked out that all three teams were able to host their league's All-Star game. And the keynote speaker for the Midwest League All-Star game in 1994 was the late, what I call the late great Hall of Fame broadcaster, Ernie Harwell, who worked over 39 years with the Detroit Tigers, and I'm a native of Detroit. And I won't go into all the specifics, but I still have on cassette tape his luncheon speech, granted me a one-on-one interview for both the paper and radio station I was covering as well. And then we, long and short, we got to spend the first two innings of that Midwest League All-Star game together by ourselves, rooftop, where at Memorial Stadium, where the TV cameramen would go to film the highlights for their respective stations.
Yeah.
Taught me three things. Rule number one, be yourself.
Yep.
Don't try to imitate anybody. You'll be found out in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, have fun. If you're not having fun, you're not where you're supposed to be.
That's right.
And rule number three was a bit geared more towards broadcasting. Paint the picture.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the greatest joy a broadcaster can ever receive is not necessarily making it all the way to the top, mm-hmm. in Major League Baseball or NFL football or whatever,
mm-hmm.
not making a gazillion bucks. He said, the greatest joy a broadcaster will ever receive is getting a comment. It might be face-to-face. It might be a phone call. It might be a letter, text, whatever. But from a fan who wanted to say thanks, they enjoyed listening to you so much that they felt as if they were right there at the action. And for baseball, it means right there at the ballpark.
Yep.
Let me give you two quick examples. It works in other sports. For 25 years, I was able to do women's basketball. It was then IPFW. Today, it's Purdue Fort Wayne. We had a girl on our roster several years ago, born in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Dad got transferred to Indianapolis. Came to Fort Wayne to play for a couple of years. First year, broadcast the games. End of year, I get a postcard from her maternal grandparents back in South Carolina. Just as it said, really enjoyed listening to you. We felt we were used the term courtside. Just so happened the next year, we had two games in South Carolina. Got to meet them face to face.
Nice.
Season ends. Get another postcard. Almost identical, except for the last sentence. And the last sentence of that second postcard was, just want to let you know that for the last 2 years, you have been the life link between our granddaughter and us. And for that, we'll be forever grateful. That hit home.
Yep.
You know, broadcasters, we're not the stars of a show. We are to cover whatever event, whatever sport it is, to describe the action that's taking place, if we're talking radio primarily, to the listener, TV, the viewer, but primarily radio, it's audio. And you want to be informative, you want to be exciting, but you don't want to go over the top. Well, I'm guilty sometimes because a lot of people know when I get excited, My voice goes up several octaves. I get louder than usual. It's not planned.
Right.
It just happens.
Yep.
But that magical phrase, check your ego at the door. Mm-hmm. It is so important. We're not the star of the show. Mm-hmm. It's the athletes who are the stars of the show. All we get to do is describe to others, who in many cases are not able to be there in person, mm-hmm. what's happening. And that's the joy of it. And it's past this current volleyball season that's almost coming to an end for Purdue Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. At an instance where I had two people congratulate me on being inducted into the Macedon Athletic Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Great honor. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
One was the parents of a player who was from Middleton, Wisconsin. But they come to a lot of the home matches. Mm-hmm. The second one, parents from a freshman from Indianapolis. Turned out that the week after the induction, that there was a Saturday home game. They came to see the game. After the match ended, they walked across the court once I got off the air from ESPN+. They wanted to introduce themselves to me. Mm. The mother was in a wheelchair. Turned out it was this player's parents, mom and dad. The mother suffers from multiple sclerosis.
Mm.
The mother now is in a position she cannot walk.
Yeah.
And I found out later she was in hospice. But she wanted to come to Fort Wayne for two reasons. Reason number one, see her son play college volleyball.
Absolutely.
Reason number two was to meet me. Mm. That's an honor, DC. Mm. It's something you don't take lightly. You
no.
treasure it. You grasp it. You say thank you very much. You don't deserve it, but you say thank you very much with your heart. That's what broadcasting is all about.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, I love that you, you know, broke down exactly what your guys' job is and what it entails. Because, yeah, for a lot of people that aren't, you know, able to go, you do have to, that's your literally your job to paint the picture for us to make sure we know exactly what's going on. And that what's crazy is that's not even how you started. You talked about,
no.
you know, you were a journalist for the, what was once known as the New Sentinel, and you even did some stuff for the Journal Gazette too, correct? So
amongst other places.
Yeah. So like talk about that transition, you know, going from how did that work out? How did you go from a journalist to even getting into play by play?
Well, growing up, my late parents would say that I had about three or four things that I wanted to do in my life. One was to be a high school teacher and a basketball coach.
Ah.
One was to be either a sports writer or sports broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And one would be a minister. And I actually moved here to Fort Wayne in 1987 after spending 2.5 years at what was then Concordia Lutheran College in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled whether I wanted to be a teacher or a minister. I went in pre-ministry. And the long and short of it was I came here to Fort Wayne because there was an accelerated program with Concordia Theological Seminary, both here in Fort Wayne and the other seminary in St. Louis. You could leave your undergraduate school, come to the seminary, complete, for those of you that may not be familiar, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to be a minister, 3 years of academic work at a seminary, 1 year of what they call vicarage, where you're sent to a church somewhere in North America. You spend a year learning the tricks of the trade underneath a pastor or two. And I made that move here, found out, because I was taking 16 credit hours, and I was in school from 8 in the morning until 2:30, and then I had a job from 3 to 11.
Mm.
I left home at 7:30 in the morning, came home at 11:30 at night, never saw my wife, never saw my three kids.
Mm.
It was the Lord's way of telling me I have something else in mind.
Yeah.
By fluke chance, I was at Lutheran bookstore near downtown Fort Wayne, across from St. Paul's Lutheran Church,
mm-hmm.
met a radio personality. It was then known WLAB 88.3 FM. Today it's known as Star 88.3. Met this gal, talked with her, said, hey, if you need any help or anything, here's my name and number. Less than 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the station general manager. His name was Jim Zix. Turned out there was a donor, if you will, that wanted to sponsor broadcasts of Concordia Lutheran football and basketball, and they were looking for a broadcaster. Now, when I interviewed with Jim, one of the things I mentioned, I had been a high school basketball official in Michigan for 8 years. So I knew basketball.
Yeah.
And it was the start of basketball season when this started off. And so I'm, okay, we got this opening. Would you like to do this? Great. So first game, January 3rd, 1990, Concordia, Southside, ironically. You being a Southside grad.
Let's go.
Varsity basketball.
Yep.
If you've ever been in the cage at Concordia Lutheran High School, you know that it's down below.
Mm-hmm.
And back then in those days, we had to go phone line service. And we would hook up a phone line from our equipment courtside all the way up the steps, all the way up to the lobby, across the hall,
jeez,
and into a home economics classroom that had a phone line set up. We get set up for the varsity game.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim says to me, come on, I'll take you across the street or around the corner. It was then known as Atz's. They had a restaurant on North Anthony. I'll buy you dinner. Okay, so we go there while the junior varsity game is being played. And during the course of that dinner, he says, oh, by the way, you're going to do play-by-play.
Mm.
Well, I thought I was going to be the analyst. That's how broadcasting began.
Yeah.
Back January 3rd, 1990. Ironically, for history people, Concordia had a kid by the name of Matt Dellinger.
Mm.
Who would go on to bigger things.
Oh, yeah.
All-State.
Yep.
Spent a nice career in, I believe, the U.S. Navy. It's a half-court shot to win the game for Concordia. My first ever broadcast. Somehow, I get known as I start radio broadcasting. 1993, long and short of it, I got hired by Kerry Hubbard, who at that time was the sports editor of the News Sentinel. Later, he would become the paper editor. Took a chance on me.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first assignments was coverage of the Fort Wayne Fury. If you remember, there was 1 year, Rick Barry, the Hall of Famer,
yep,
was our head coach. I got to cover his home opener for the paper. So I got to do paper, and I mentioned to you off air, that was for the day, second year, what was known as prep sports, where you have extensive high school athletic coverage.
Mm-hmm.
My beats, if you were wrestling and boys and girls track and field. So then I got to go to a number of events. I got to go and do some writing, which is one of the things I love to do. And the quick story, and I know I don't want to take too much time. I'll tell the listeners this. There was a series in 1994 between the then Wizards and what was known as the South Bend Silverhawks in South Bend. And I was selected to go up to South Bend and cover the three-game series.
Mm.
First game, cover the game. Do the interview, post-game interviews, write the story, try to send it. It wouldn't transmit back to Fort Wayne. So I had to go back to the paper. I leave the press box at what was then known as Kovaleski Stadium.
Mm.
Gates were locked. I was the only person in the ballpark. I had to shimmy over the fence, pray that the laptop in my case wouldn't fall out.
Yeah.
Get over the fence to get out of the ballpark, to get my car, to get back to Fort Wayne. Turned out each of the three games, I covered the games, wrote the stories, but the equipment wouldn't transmit the story back to the paper, and I had to drive back to Fort Wayne
post
the stories. So I got writing in 93, and I was with the Sentinel for 4 years, and then I walked across the hall after a discussion one day and joined Journal Gazette, and I was honored to be able to cover sports for 9 years until midway through the 2005 season, which was my first season getting the full-time broadcasting gig with the then Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
I was still, for the first part of the season, one of the things I did for the paper was compiling high school athletics for whatever sport was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, I started traveling with the baseball team. The paper would have to fax me statistical information from the different schools to whatever hotel, whatever place we were in.
Yeah.
Finally, we had a meeting in the mines. It was costing the paper a lot of money.
Oh, I bet.
The fax.
Yeah.
And we jointly agreed my time with the paper would stop. But I had 13 great years, plus some other freelance events. 1 year, I actually made deals with a number of the teams in the Midwest League. Covered their team when they came to Fort Wayne, wrote the stories, sent the stories, and got paid a nominal fee for covering the games.
Mm.
So I loved writing. But when I got hooked on the broadcast bit, Let me fast forward now to 2002. I was hired by the then Wizards to be one of the official scorers. 2003, new broadcaster came to town. His name was Terry Byram, came from Idaho Falls, former Air Force veteran. And I'm still covering the team, but we got to know each other and actually want to come and help with the broadcast. So it turned out there are many games at home where if I wasn't scoring the game, I would be covering the game. And four, five, and six, I would go over to the radio booth and fill in for Terry, who would leave the booth and mingle with the crowd at the ballpark. That was a thing he loved to do. Home, it started with home games, mm-hmm. increased to road games. First ever road game I did was in Battle Creek, Michigan, with what was then known as the Battle Creek Yankees. And it had another number of other names as well. But Terry moved on to AA Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, prior to the 2005 season. I interviewed, it was the fourth time I had interviewed for a broadcast position with the franchise. Mm. And I got defeated three times, but that's life, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
But Mike Nutter took a chance. I'm forever grateful to Mike for that opportunity. And knock on wood, Lord willing, it's been fun ever since. Mm-hmm. In 2009, everything changed. New ballpark, new team name, new team colors, the whole new mascots, the whole nine yards. 2009, the team cut a deal with what was then known as Comcast to do all the home games on TV. Mm-hmm. But Mike wanted me on the radio. I feel more comfortable on radio.
Yeah.
Because, radio broadcaster, you get to be more involved. You get to describe the action more.
Yeah.
On the TV side.
It's telling a story.
On the TV side, the viewer can see some of the action.
Right.
On the radio side, it's our production.
Yeah.
So from.
You're watching TV mainly to see the game. Well, on radio, you're listening to the broadcaster tell the story and paint the picture.
So it started with radio.
Yeah.
Went also to added TV, to newspaper, and then back to radio along with TV and internet. Because I've done that with Purdue Fort Wayne for now over 30 years. So, but it's just a fortuitous break. I remember back when I lived in Waco, Texas, and I got to meet Frank Lieber, who at that time was the radio voice of the Dallas Cowboys. And it was the beginning of cable TV in terms of coverage of athletic events. And I got up the nerve to meet him. It was a Baylor, Texas A&M basketball game. And I got to meet him after the game. And I asked him, I said, I'm interested in getting into broadcasting. What can I look for? And the best piece of advice he gave me, a degree is nice, but it's not mandatory. Mm. It's just being in the right place at the right time. And that's what turned out.
Yeah.
For me getting involved in radio, then with the newspaper, and then doing TV. My career with Purdue Fort Wayne started on cable TV. And then in 2007, it branched out into radio and internet. So it's just being in the right place at the right time. And if you do your job to the best of your ability, great things can happen. And that's what's happened with me.
Yeah. And you've been, you've been here, calling the games on the radio for through the Wizards, Tin Caps tenure, the whole birth of that. And you've got to call so many games for so many talented players. I got to know some of your favorite, players. There's been a lot of people that have come through this town that have gone on to play Major League Baseball, gone on to do great things. So who are some of your most memorable players you got to call games for here in the 260?
I go back to 1994. The Wizards had an outfielder, left fielder that year, by the name of Torrey Hunter.
Oh.
Who would go on to great things, primarily with the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
Twins, rather. Also spent some time with the Angels and my Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
That's one person. We go on. I'll never forget 1997, D.C. That year, West Michigan had the best record in minor league baseball. They won the Midwest League regulars, our division. We got into the playoffs in the second half as the wild card team. First round of the playoffs, we play West Michigan. Game one, we had a left-hand pitcher by the name Mike Bowder. Mm. Pitched the game of his life, and we won. Game two, and if need be three, we go up to Grand Rapids. And Kent Horman and I went to do the games, because at that time, Kent was doing TV with Channel 33. And we go up to cover the game. And lo and behold, we knock out the best team in minor league baseball record-wise to win their first round series. I'll never forget it. Kent and I are in the clubhouse after the game, getting doused like all the players with beer. That car ride back to Fort Wayne being full of beer was something else. But, you know, and Mike Boddicker was our manager. Mm. Learned a lot of great things. We've had some former major leaguers be managers of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Randy Reddy in 2004, 2005, 2006. Doug DeCenzo in 2007, 2008, and 2009. In 2009, we made the move to downtown and became the Tin Caps. Mm-hmm. And others. I mentioned to you earlier today as we're taping this on Talking Sports, a lot of people remember Fernando Tatis Jr. here in 2017.
My favorite player.
One of my favorite interviews of all time took place on a Sunday in 2017 where I sat in the Tin Caps first base dugout and for almost 9 minutes interviewed Fernando Tatis Jr. with his dad, Fernando Tatis Sr.
Wow.
And our listeners may or may not know this, Fernando Tatis Sr. has a record that will never be topped in Major League Baseball. The only player to hit two Grand Slam home runs in the same inning, ironically off the same pitcher at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. And getting to interview father and son
that's huge.
Was phenomenal. We talk about Fernando Tatis. We mentioned Torrey Hunter. Catcher for the Wizards in 1998, Chad Mohler, one of my favorite guys to interview, went on to big things in the major leagues.
Yeah.
There are so many. Having the opportunity to interview for our pregame shows, Kerry Wood rehabbing with then the Lansing Lugnuts when they were a Cub affiliate.
Mark Pryor
was in Peoria, Illinois, and he was at that time. Peoria was a Cub affiliate, and Mark was with the Cubs. Getting to interview them one-on-one. Getting to interview on two different occasions the late Ryne Sandberg, once here in Fort Wayne, once in Peoria. For several years, in the early years of the Tin Caps at Parkview Field, there was an insurance company that sponsored a day. I want to say Prudential, but I'm not 100% sure. But what happened, they would come here one day a year. They would set up two tents. In one tent, there was a batting cage. And the other tent was like a museum. And they always brought in a former major league player who would be there, sign autographs for the fans. He would spend an inning on the radio and an inning on TV. And some of the players I got to interview... Bobby Richardson, former Yankee infielder back in the early 60s. Bill Buckner. And I'll never forget this. I was given one helpful piece of advice. Interview him, have fun, but don't bring up what happened in the 86 World Series. Delightful chat with Bill Buckner. Yeah. Dave Parker, former outfielder with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Amongst others.
Yeah.
Raleigh Fingers. Former Oakland A, Milwaukee Brewer, Hall of Fame relief pitcher, amongst others. One other crazy footnote, and then I'll shut up for a second. Going back, I graduated from high school in the Detroit area in 1970. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to play basketball for 2 years, played golf for 3 years. Not counting cross country and track. My last high school basketball game was in the state of Michigan basketball tournament, and it was against Detroit Catholic Central. And we ended up losing that game 64-56. But on the opposing team was a gentleman by the name of Frank Tanana, who would go on to big things, first with the California Angels and then with the Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
Getting to interview Frank when he came to Fort Wayne to see a game. And going back and laughing about, I remembered it better than he did. But remember, we played against each other for one game in high school basketball. And then there are so many others.
One for me is Josh Van Meter.
Josh Van Meter. Had a great time with Josh. I still never forget the day he got injured.
Yep.
Trying to help convert a double play against with a 6'5" first baseman from Lansing barreling in on him and ended up, I believe, broke his ankle or dislocated his ankle. Never forget that sight, seeing him whirl the play, the slide coming in, down. You could hear the scream from up in the press box. But there are so many things that so many players, it's an injustice. I guess suffice to say, I've been very fortunate to have been able to interview many, many players. A lot of them have been able to go on to achieve their dreams of being a major league baseball player.
That's right. And just even today in like recent memory, Trey Turner, Jackson Merrill. I mean, there's the list goes on and on.
It goes on and on.
That's why
Max Fried.
Max Fried
off to a great start.
Another one.
He was here in 2013 and 2014. Stop and think real quickly, DC. In 2013, the Tin Cap starting rotation, amongst others, had Max Fried, Zach Eflin. I'm trying to think real quickly. A couple of the other four starters, all of whom made it to the major leagues, and they were on the same pitching staff here in Fort Wayne in 2013. You mentioned Trey Turner.
Yep.
Recency. There are four former Tin Caps who are on the major league roster of the Miami Marlins. Xavier Edwards, infielder, Midwest League All-Star.
Yeah.
He's been playing either shortstop or second base. Jacob Marcy, a native Detroiter from Allen Park, who is their center fielder. Graham Pauly, who has played both first and third base. And I'm drawing a blank on the fourth one. But there are four current players who played in Fort Wayne, who are at the major league level in Miami, amongst many others.
The list goes on and on. Yeah. And, I can only imagine how it would be calling games and meeting all these players. And after all of this, now this is something else I wanted to bring up too. So through these years, I wanted to highlight this because this is a prestigious award that I want people to be aware of. So through all these years, in 2018, you won the Bob Parker Award. Talk about what that meant for you to win that award from the baseball
Northeast Indiana Baseball Association. Very honored, very flattered. The Bob Parker Award is awarded annually at the NEIBA annual banquet when they also have Hall of Fame inductions.
Yep.
And a footnote, Mike Nutter is both a former Bob Parker Award winner and he is a member of the NEIBA Hall of Fame. It's in honor of a former sports writer, and it's awarded to people who, in the eyes of the brain trust of the NEIBA, have made significant contributions to the game of baseball in the Fort Wayne community. I guess they gave it to me because I've been fortunate now. I have lived in Fort Wayne for 39 years, going back to March 1st. And I was fortunate enough to be honored in 2018. I keep that plaque in our home radio booth at Parkview Field. And again, I try to keep my ego at the door. I'm honored. I'm grateful. I tell people I don't deserve it, but other people thought I did. I love the game. I love people. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to have been given this honor and to spend time. And a couple of other former winners may be familiar to our listeners. My former colleague, John Nolan.
Yeah.
Justin Prince, who was the sports director
at Fox 55
for 7 years, amongst others.
You know, what was going through your mind, you know, when you found out you were winning that award, being amongst all those names?
Blake Sebring, who was a well-known former sports writer for the New Sentinel, covered the Comets for over 35 years, covered what was then IPFW men's volleyball, especially during the Lloyd Ball era in the 90s. He's the one who let me know he was on the board that particular year of the NEIBA.
Yeah.
And so he called me one day and he said, "Mike, I finally got you into a Hall of Fame." And I said, "Huh?" And he said, "Yeah, you're going in with the NEIBA as the Bob Parker Award winner."
Nice.
It was a shock.
Yeah. And to get that from
Blake.
But
you know what it does, DC?
Yeah.
It gives you a chance to stop and pause for a moment. And in this crazy world of ours, regardless of whatever line of work you're in, it just seems like life goes and goes. But for a brief period of time, you get to stop.
Yep.
You get to think. You can reflect back. And that's why I say, in all honesty, I'm so blessed and grateful to do something that I've wanted to do all my life. And people think that I've done that job well enough that you get awarded these honors. And so I'm grateful to the people. I'm grateful to the listeners or the viewers. I'm grateful to the many athletes I've been able to cover, mm-hmm. the many coaches and managers in the various sports I've been able to cover. Sports is so great. It's an opportunity for kids initially at the high school level where I started mm-hmm. to grow up, to go on to the collegiate level, and hopefully in some cases, the professional level. But it's everyone trying to achieve a dream, a goal.
That's right.
That they may have had almost all their life. And it just goes to show, if you put your heart, your soul, and your mind into it, with the good Lord's help, anything is possible.
That's right.
And anything can and will happen. And more often than not, it'll be something good.
And you've done a lot in your career. And that's why I wanted to bring you in today to highlight just, I mean, even snippets of what you've done. And of course, you know, you're still accomplishing things. You're still going and still doing Tin Caps games today. And so before we bring manager Johnny Matthews on, from your perspective, you know, as we embark on the 2026 season, I know you were excited to tell me a little bit about them. What can we expect from this year's team? Who are some of the players we can watch?
Well, let's start going back with Jonathan Matthews being back. He was a hitting coach under Anthony Contreras for 3 years.
Yeah.
He got to manage into the team in 2023, and the star of the 2023 team was one Jackson Merrill, who that year was the shortstop.
Huh.
And Jackson missed some time in the first half due to injury.
Yeah.
And the team struggled. But he got healthy. And in the second half, a complete turnaround. We won the second half Eastern Division title, which qualified us for the playoffs. Ironically, it's the last time the Tin Caps have made the playoffs. But Johnny had this idea, and he said this when he talked to the media a few days ago. He wants the players to be loose off the field, be themselves, have fun, but he also wants them to be focused on the field. And just go and do your thing. Don't put added pressure on yourself. Padres think enough of you that they signed you to a contract. They know you have potential. Go out, have fun, show that you can be a talented individual that can blend in with teammates to make a great team. So it starts with the leadership of Johnny Matthews as the manager and then his coaching staff. Now, the players, and there, I believe there are 13 former Tin Caps on the opening day roster. And the season began, as we speak, last night. Tough 2-1 loss at Great Lakes. But there were some good things, some good pitching, some defense. The offense was looking. Each team had just 4 hits in the game last night. Neither team committed an error. And the game was well played because it took just 2 hours and 7 minutes to play. So there are a number of players. He mentioned a few. He mentioned a promising outfielder named Alex McCoy, who is large in size. anxious to see him next week when the team starts the home season against Lansing.
Said he's 6'7", 270?
Yeah, or something like that.
Like he was looking for the football field and got lost.
But then you've got some players that were here. Rossmann Verdugo, who played both shortstop and second base last year. And Johnny made the mention. He said it to the media. He said, I'm going to tell Rossman, I'm glad to see you, but get out of here. And what he meant by that was, play well enough where you get the promotion.
Yep.
And fans have to remember, DC, the Tin Caps, amongst others, this is minor league baseball, high A. There are still 2 more steps on the ladder before you get to Petco Park.
Right.
So it's developmental league. You want to win a league championship? Yes. but you also want to hone your skills and improve and develop so that you get that phone call and you get told after a game, clear out your locker, clear out your apartment. You got plane tickets for you the next day to head to San Antonio.
About the only time you want to hear that.
Yes. So you want the players to perform well.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of all these players. There's 30-man roster. I know there are three players on the injured list already. Hopefully they'll get healed up, ready to go sooner than later. And all we ask the fans is to come out as they have done from day one and support this team. Pin Caps have always had one of the most attended franchises, not only in high class A or the Midwest League, but in all of minor league baseball. And you've got the most talented off-the-field staff in all of baseball. And I say this selfishly, but I believe it in my heart, under the tutelage of Mike Nutter. And so many of the staff members have been here multiple years. We're talking not just two or three or five,
yeah.
10, 15, 20, 22, 24, 25, because we all, and I'll say it truthfully, we all love each other to a degree. We all love what we do. We all get to blend. We mix together well. And what we try to do, Mike coined this phrase many, many years ago. The goal of the team in the front office is to help provide the fans family, fun, entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's been the goal.
Yeah.
From day one for the front office staff. It hasn't changed. It won't change. And the fact that fans have come out in record numbers over the years prove it. And we're just hoping that that trend continues here in 2026.
Absolutely. Mike Maz joining us here, play-by-play broadcaster for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps here for the Tin Caps 2026 preview. Now it's time. We'll be bringing on the manager, Jonathan Matthews, here in just a couple of moments. But, Mike, I just wanted to send you more appreciation and extra thanks for coming on the podcast and also just telling us these great stories and just talking to us about, you know, your career and things that you've done and what you bring to Tin Caps baseball.
I have been asked by many people for many years to write a book about my many experiences.
Yeah.
And I've gotten some advice from some talented writers such as Blake Sebring and Steve Warden and Ben Smith, amongst others, of how to go about it. They've given me some ideas.
Blake's a good guy.
I just have to get off my lazy you-know-what, sit down, and start writing. Because, it's, again, one of my goals as a broadcaster and as a person is to be able to bring a smile to someone's face, whether it's describing action in a sporting event or utilizing my warped sense of humor. If I can have somebody smile just for a few seconds, it could be someone that has had difficulties in their life in one way or another. And if I can bring even temporary joy to someone who has struggled, then I feel I'm doing what the good Lord put me on this earth to do.
That's what I love to hear. Mike Maz. Mike, again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much, DC. My pleasure.